Welcome to the very special bonus we have here today on From the Ground Up podcast. Today, we are ecstatic to welcome Jody Schwann of Sioux Falls Business to the podcast. Hello, Jody.
Thanks for having me on your podcast.
Yes, thanks for being here. As always, I'm your host, Michaela.
And I'm Abby.
And we're going to hop right into these questions, and we'll just start on a little lighter note with a little icebreaker. What do you got, Abby?
What is your most used phone app?
Oh my gosh. Okay. I didn't see that one coming.
Me neither.
I mean, it's not an app. iMessage, of course. My inbox is a nightmare. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm kind of a weather geek. I check that all the time.
Interesting.
I run a business site. I check my stocks a lot. So
yes.
A couple times a day. I don't know that I have any super fun ones. I should have, I'm never that far away from my phone. I should have had it in front of me. I also do enjoy my sports. I'm from Cleveland.
Okay.
ESPN app on the weekends. I have been known to do a little football betting, so I need to check those scores.
Oh my goodness. Okay. Interesting. Wait, who's your team?
Well, I'm a big football fan.
Okay.
The Cleveland Browns, which, if you know your football, means that I've had a long and suffering life. including this season, but it's not a two team, but any of you. And I'm a graduate of Northwestern University.
Okay.
And occasionally, we'll have a team that's in contention.
Okay.
We're going to have a good basketball year, but it's way too
There you go. A gal who knows her sports, right on. I know nothing, so not nothing, but next to nothing. So, well, we will get into more questions about your business here. Can you tell us a little bit about how you built Sioux Falls Business from the ground up? It's our tagline there.
Absolutely did build it from the ground up.
Yes.
So this is a good fit. So let me pull back a little bit because Sioux Falls.business is part of my business, but it's not my whole business.
Okay.
So my actual name that I do business under is called Align Content Studio. Like aligning your message with your audience.
It
really started as a content marketing firm. So content marketing is this sort of emerging part of the marketing industry where it's much more storytelling focused than it is traditional advertising focused. So what we're finding is a lot of businesses want to tell their story, and that's a lot bigger, broader, and more nuanced than you could fit into a short traditional advertisement.
Right.
And at the same time, we know that consumers are sort of allergic to advertising, right? Like, we do everything we can to avoid it, which is why we use the ad blockers and we hate the pop-up messaging, right? Or the paywalls and things like that that we hit maybe when we're online. So, I mean, I try to make it a very seamless kind of natural and compelling advertising experience. So the way I started out was, my background is in journalism, but I also have some PR in my history. And I worked with businesses a lot because my last job was as editor of the Sioux Falls Business Journal, which is part of the Argus Leader. So I told businesses stories for years. And I thought that that could easily be adapted to a marketing business, telling it to accomplish their brand objectives as opposed to maybe news reporting. So that's the road I was going down. Align Content Studio, I'm going to be a content marketing firm. I'm going to help businesses tell their stories. But the more I thought through that business model, the more I realized it had some limitations. And what I mean by that is we could be creating this content. And by content, I mean anything from a short story to a video to a series of photographs to a podcast, because some businesses use podcasts
for
content marketing, right?
Yep.
So, okay, great. We're going to do this content for businesses. And then what? Well, we're going to probably put it on their website. We need to reach people with it. So we're going to put it on their website, which is good. We're going to push it out through their social media channels, also good. We're going to email it to whoever is on their email database, also effective. But as you're maybe seeing, there are limitations. And our limitations are we only reach whoever's coming to the website or whoever we go pay the search engines to bring to the website. Same with social media. Very hard, even if they're following you, to reach people through social media because of the changing algorithms. Email, you're limited by whoever's on the list. So I'm thinking through this and going, how can I deliver a bigger audience to my clients? And that was actually when I decided to layer in the media piece. I was ready to be done with media, but I realized, okay, there are a couple things happening here. One, I really do enjoy journalism. So this would allow me to continue to do reporting in a niche that I liked, business journalism. And then it would bring in that audience that's valuable to my clients. It also would allow me to work with a whole other group of businesses, which are businesses that don't maybe need me to come in and create that content for them. Maybe they have in-house teams or other firms that they work with to do that. But they also have realized the limitation and needing to reach other people. So we have businesses we work with where we do create their content. We have businesses that create it and then we simply distribute it for them. And then day to day at SiouxFalls.business, we look a lot like a newsroom. So we are out reporting news, taking the same approach that any other media outlet would ethically and everything else sourcing wise. The difference is that our advertising takes the form of content and not traditional, you know, ads in a newspaper,
yeah,
on TV. It's important to me to be transparent about that. So my goal is to keep our news content about 60% of what we do and fill in the rest with advertising. But every time you pull up one of those paid pieces, the first thing you're going to see is it's a paid piece sponsored by whoever it is.
Yeah.
So that's essentially the model. My first product, SiouxFalls.business, launched in March of 2017. And then the beginning of this year, I launched a second site called Pigeon Like the Bird, 65,
okay,
which we can talk about more.
Yes.
That is the same business model, but a different audience, mm-hmm, and a different topic and content area.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that because we as humans are drawn to stories more than we are drawn to like technical things or prices and stuff. We're all about stories and that's, mm-hmm, what really connects you with people. So I know I'm drawn to your website. I was looking at it before this. And I'm like, I want to read everything right now.
You're doing something right.
Yes, you are. Yeah. Yes. There's something about just real people's stories that drawing real people. So awesome. So who are your biggest influencers when getting this started? Is this something you always wanted to do? Or were you just thinking you were going to do journalism? Tell us a little bit about that.
My career has taken an interesting path and there were steps along the way that I did not think I would do, including to a certain extent entrepreneurship. So I would say I had it in the back of my mind and it was always sort of this nebulous thing, like once I reach a certain point in my career, much later than I did, I figured, well, maybe I'll be a consultant. I don't know what that means necessarily, right? You can go a lot of directions as a consultant, but I thought maybe I'll take everything that I've learned and, mm-hmm, and then begin to market my services to businesses. And I would say I would have seen myself doing that, you know, in my 50s or early, even in my, mm-hmm, early 60s. But what happened was I was working in the newspaper industry, which the more I studied, and I suggest to everyone, you know, no matter what business you're in or where within that business you sit, I think that you need to learn about your industry. And that goes beyond just your particular company. It's the field, because you're going to see things that probably are going to help you in your career one way or another, see opportunities, or in my case, anticipate challenges. So the more I paid attention to the newspaper industry, the more I realized, you know what, there are some real limitations to this business model. And I'm in my 30s at the time, and I'm probably not going to end up retiring at a newspaper. So how long do I want to stick this out? I mean, that was really what it came down to.
Mm-hmm.
What type of advancement opportunities would I have? And were they even the sort of opportunities that I would want? You know, I was not in an organization where we were ever able to add people. Mm-hmm. So when you think about that, I mean, sure, if somebody left, we could maybe fill that job. But our team itself was never going to be able to get bigger than it was. And that to me was just such a limitation to growth. Mm-hmm. Because one of the ways we can tell if a business is successful and, mm-hmm, is growing is that we're adding people, right? Or
right,
locations or whatever it may be.
Right.
So I went, okay, I just need to figure it out. And I enjoyed the industry. I enjoyed telling stories. I didn't necessarily want to go work for one company and just tell one company's stories. And so as I thought through that, then it became, okay, maybe I do this for multiple businesses. And then it became, okay, well, maybe I just start multiple types of businesses, mm-hmm, you know, both the marketing and the media side. So
yeah.
I would say it was really paying attention to that. My company gave me some nice leadership development opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
And they also let me run with some innovation opportunities.
Mm.
So I started a little brand with some partners here locally called Sioux Falls Made several years ago to highlight makers and artists. And
yeah,
we were able to grow that within the Argus Theater and turn it into an event series. And that gave me a little practice at starting something from the ground up.
Yep.
You say.
Yep.
So I give them a lot of credit. I'm very grateful for the opportunities I've had all the way along. I started in the media. I got out of it. I worked for city government. I learned about how organizations work in that role. really similar to business, although it was the public sector. I got a really good big picture look at that, and I was able to get back into media and ultimately see that my future probably wasn't there, which
right.
led me to entrepreneurship. People say, did it feel like a big risk to do this, you know, to leave your job and to start something totally new? And I said, honestly, I had reached a point where it felt like a bigger risk to stay. And I think that probably explains as much as anything why I decided to try what I did. And I saw some really quick market acceptance of it.
Yeah.
Which is usually a good sign that you're on
the team. Yeah. Yeah.
Are there any specific people that you'd call like mentors or just like the biggest people influence on this journey?
Oh, if I look way, way back, you guys, I was so fortunate at a young age to have some wonderful teachers. Every teacher I had in elementary school, even going back that far, pushed me and shaped me. My fifth grade teacher was very much about us learning current events, which was my first exposure to news. And then down the road, yep. led me into other things. I had a number of fantastic teachers through middle and high school. I had a really good, almost like a coach. I was not an athlete. I was not in sports. My sport was journalism. So I did newspaper and I did television. And in television, I had a really, really good advisor who pushed me, you know, and encouraged me to continue down that road because I started in broadcast. And then when I was at Northwestern University, again, I had a couple of great journalism professors who were very tough, but as I look back, you know, helped instill in me a really high bar for what I do, which continues today. And then in the workplace, my first job, again, at Kello TV, I had great mentors, including some who I keep in touch with to this day, who taught me a lot, who gave me tons of opportunities. Dave Munson, who was the former mayor of Sioux Falls, who hired me for his second term and gave me a fabulous opportunity at a young age, believed in me, continues to be a great friend and mentor today. Rob Swenson, who is my retired editor at the Sioux Falls Business Journal, who hired me when I was looking for a job and understood I wasn't even really sure if I wanted to get back into the media, you know, but gave me that opportunity anyway, was a fantastic help to me along the way. So, you know, every single stop. And then today, in the community, we are so lucky to be in a business community where people want to see people succeed.
Yeah.
And I learn every day from my clients and my sources and other friends who are business owners.
Yeah.
And so I would say I have just so many people today who mentor me in sort of little ways along the way. I don't have like this traditional go-to mentor.
Right.
I have a lot of people in a big network where depending on what I might be dealing with, I'll run it by them.
Yeah. Yeah. It sounds like you've like walked through a lot of different sectors to help you really have this broad outlook on Sioux Falls and then gotten to meet a lot of amazing people along the way. I feel like that when we get to interview people like you, I feel mentored just by listening.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, yeah. And that's what we hope to do by like putting your story out there. And
that's a Sioux Falls thing.
Yeah.
Somewhat uniquely Sioux Falls. So people say, why are you in Sioux Falls? Why have you stayed here? When I look back at these opportunities, you're right. I have changed industries. I have started a business. I'm not saying that wouldn't have been possible in a bigger market somewhere else, but I'm just telling you it would have been a lot more challenging.
Right.
And I think being in that market size that we are, we would still be very relationship-based.
Really?
Yeah. Actually end up having more diversity of opportunities. I know sometimes there's this perception like you're going to get more opportunities if you go somewhere bigger. But when I look at my experience and the really powerful things that I've gotten to do, I think a lot of that ties back to the market size that we're in.
It's like right on the cusp of growing even more. Yeah, there's so much opportunity. Do you have a daily routine that you walk through every day with all your things you have going on?
No 2 days are completely alike for me. I know a lot of people in business will say that. So I would tell you, I do try to start the day with exercise because if I don't exercise first thing in the morning, sometimes it's easy for that not to happen.
Yeah, I get that.
So I'll be doing that. And at the same time, my go-to morning TV is CNBC because I'm a big business geek. So you'll find me on the treadmill watching CNBC. This is how I start my day. I have a little dog who, you know, dominates my household. So a lot of my daily routine all involve the dog walks and all of that fun stuff. And then my working hours are long, as most people in business are. Mm-hmm. So typically, you know, I'll get started for the day about 7:30 in the morning. I don't have downtime in my world. That's one of the interesting things. Sometimes, you know, you're at work, you're at school, and you take those little mental breaks. I probably should take more of them, but like, let's be honest, there's a lot of time wasted during the day too. And I just don't have that luxury because I am super, super busy.
Right.
So, once I get going, it's pretty much wall to wall, doing news interviews, doing client interviews, doing business development. I still have advertisers who are interested in talking about how we work, what I might be able to do for them. I get asked to speak to a lot of groups. I get asked to do occasionally some interview things like this. My day will go late. I mean, I'll leave the office. We have an office in downtown Sioux Falls. You know, I'll try to get out of there by 5:30, 6 o'clock. Sometimes I have meetings outside of that or after work, and I try to manage my time well enough during the day where this doesn't happen, but there will be times at night where I will need to write because we'll have things that are running the next day that I just haven't gotten to. So I try to be to bed before 11 o'clock. I'm one of those people who just needs to sleep a certain amount. I envy those individuals who can get by on 5 hours.
That would
be amazing.
Not me.
So I need to be mindful of that. And then my weekends... again, I wish I didn't have to spend quite so much time working, but as a still pretty new business owner who is in growth mode, it's necessary. So
yeah,
I'm usually looking at a half day on Saturday and at least a few hours on Sunday where I try to not do so much work product, so less writing.
Yeah,
but just catching up on everything else it takes to run a business because, you know, I still... do my own bookkeeping. So I have to go through that. I have to pay my people, try to catch up on my email. My inbox is a nightmare, but, and then I do try to make sure I take enough time for travel, which has been nice. I can kind of work wherever I want. So I do travel quite a bit. And then, you know, seeing, I have so many friends in town. It's hard to try to keep up with everyone as much as I would like, but fortunately now, you know, out doing things a little bit more, that's normalized. So yeah, I stay plenty busy.
Yes. It sounds like it. Is there a recent place you've traveled?
Well, I like to go back to my hometown as much as I can. So, Cleveland, Ohio is where it's at for me. And, I am well known, you know, that route from the Sioux Falls Airport through Minneapolis to Cleveland. Like, they know my name. So.
That's awesome. Do you like having that flexibility of just taking your work with you?
That's huge. You know, I mean, I've not ever had that in my career before.
Yeah.
And so not only the location flexibility, but also, you know, at the end of the day, I am my own boss. Of course, I work for, thankfully, dozens of businesses that to work with them, but that does provide a degree of flexibility that is super, super rewarding.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So when it does come to like the, I could be doing something completely different tomorrow, how do you prioritize what you have to do like today?
That's a great question. I don't know that I nail that every day, but you know, for me, it's hard because I've got this news pull on one side, right? Like there's breaking news and we need to be on it. And then I've got my business side of things where if I don't take care of that, I don't have an operation.
Right.
I'm not doing this as a hobby. So I really prioritize my clients as best I can. So I, if I hear from a client, if I've got a project for one of them that needs to get done, I really try to move that to the front of the line. Understanding that there are some times where news has to take precedence.
Yeah.
But we try to plan ahead as best we can on the news side. And when you're covering business news, it's a little bit easier to do that. So it's not like we're responding to breaking news.
Right.
Our niche just allows for a little bit better planning.
For sure. Yeah. It's not like, oh, there's a tornado. It's more like, this is what this business is doing.
For a tornado.
Oh, yeah.
A bunch of businesses, right? So, I mean, you never know.
You're right. Yeah, for sure. That happened like 2 years ago, right? Yeah. So when it comes down to like marketing your business, what's that look like for your type of business?
It's interesting because there was no real template for this, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
How
do you market a media business?
Exactly.
I was lucky when I started that I did have my own following, you know, from my media career, which is something that I would advise to other people too. Sometimes I think people jump into entrepreneurship a little bit early in their career, maybe before they've built up the network that ultimately is going to support them. So I was very glad that I waited and did that because that was huge. So Now, this is 2017, where you could still go on Facebook and be reasonably assured that your posts were going to be seen. That's changed a lot. So when I launched Pigeon 605 at the beginning of the year, we realized that that the approach to marketing was going to have to be a little more intense and a little bit different. But I just started out at first breaking some great business news, posting it on my social media channels. I had a partnership with KSFY, now Dakota News Now, where I would go on, I still do, every Tuesday, and I do a little free business reporting for them.
Right.
But that was a way to help get the word out.
Yeah.
And then my partners were great. So I launched SiouxFalls.business with, I think it was about 20 partners already, which, again, I talk about that fast market response. And so all of those businesses had their own channels, and they were all helping me push it out.
Yeah. Yeah, I like how you say the network was kind of your net under you in starting a business. That's super good advice. What is your most interactive platform of marketing?
It's probably still Facebook. I mean, you know, this is still a very heavy Facebook market.
Yeah.
Business news is not the type of thing that typically gets a ton of audience response. Thank goodness it's not like covering politics where
right.
you know, we've got people at war in our comment section. Typically when our readers are commenting, it's because they're excited about something. It's because we've told them something new is coming to town or, you know, whatever. So they interact with us that way. We have a Facebook group, but it's really more a way for us to try and get our stories to our readers and cut through the whole Facebook.
Right.
You know, challenge a little bit better. Twitter's not been super interactive for us. Instagram a little bit. People love to share our content on LinkedIn. So on the site, it makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
But generally, I wouldn't say that our folks are super interactive. We now have broadened that original maker brand that I started to something called 605 Made.
Yeah.
And what's really fun is we do a series of events every year. We've got one coming up the first Saturday in December, a holiday pop-up market, and I love interacting in person with our readers. So
yeah.
That's really fun when they'll come up and they'll say, you know, that they like the sites.
Yeah. Yeah. Or like, I read this story from you. Do you have that a lot just in general life, people coming up to you?
I do. And, you know, it's funny because I've done multiple things in this community. So yep. I still have people who remember me when I was on television back in 2002, which is when I started.
Wow. Yeah.
Sometimes they forget where I'm at or what I'm doing.
Right.
They just know they know my face. They remember me from when I had a column in the newspaper. But increasingly, they know both sites and they come up and they tell me that they really enjoy reading those.
Yep.
So that's super fun. Or I'm, you know, checking out at a store and somebody tells me.
Yeah.
That's how you know you're really reaching people.
Right. Right. That's so much fun. It would be a little like, whoa, but that sounds so fun.
Eventually the podcast will have made it when this happens.
Right. Yes. Yes. I'll join the fame with you, Jody. No, you are kind of you are famous in this community. So I'm so glad you're here today. I should say kind of. You are. Well, we do here. And another question we have for you is you talked about having the 605 magazine or no. Pigeon, 605 Pigeon. Do you want to talk about the difference in target markets between your first business and that one?
Yeah, absolutely. So thank you. It's Pigeon 605, like the bird. And what happened was the business site was very successful and to the point where I really couldn't take on more advertisers. And I wanted to do a product that was more for an advertiser that wanted to reach consumers. SiouxFalls.business is great if you're a business trying to reach another business, a decision maker in a business. It's not necessarily the fit if you're trying to reach a broader audience, you know, all ages, both men and women, although we reach definitely both men and women through the business site. But I thought the market needs something different. And I think people were very fatigued with news. I think they still are. And I wanted to come in with something that was just very fresh and forward-looking and community-focused and lifestyle-focused.
Yeah.
Especially for people who are kind of new to town, who might be trying to get connected. Or
yep.
maybe they're young and just starting their careers here.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, what does that look like? How can we make it different and fun? And I did a big, big throwback to the very, very earliest days of news when carrier pigeons carried news. So before the phone or anything, it sends a pigeon.
Yeah.
And then I layered on this idea that, okay, what if you could like adopt a pigeon and, you know, have it carry your news? So you go to pigeon605.com and we want you to adopt a virtual pigeon. You're going to give it a name. You're going to pick out an image among several for which bird you want. tell it about yourself, and then it's going to carry you the news that you want. So
wow.
It arrives to your inbox, and it arrives via text message occasionally, which I think is another good growth platform.
That's such an interesting platform. I love that.
You gotta sign up and adopt your bird.
Yes, okay. That's awesome.
That's a word for me.
Yeah.
Because I think, you know, college students are a really good fit for us because many of them are new to town.
Yeah.
They want to check out the restaurants in town, or they want to know, maybe where they can rent their first apartment. We talked about that, or some of the issues that the community is dealing with, mm-hmm. or just some of the really fascinating people who live there. So you get a little bit
yeah.
of that.
Yeah. That's fantastic, because I think, like, as a college student, it's super easy to get into your routine and in your work and whatever you're doing and not be interacting with those new things happening, like downtown or those opportunities for you. It's super easy to be unaware, mm-hmm. and so we need that. Like,
it's
cool.
You go to college and you get this college bubble.
Yeah.
The same thing happened to me when I was in college.
Yep.
Yeah, you miss out on good stuff.
The community. Yeah. Yeah, so it's called Pigeon 605. All right. Well, listen to that, listeners out there.
Did you have a process when you were trying to figure out your target audience for either site?
Well, the first one was sort of obvious because mm-hmm. I was already reaching the business community. You know, the decision maker in the business community was definitely my target audience. And I always figure if it goes broader than that, great. With Pigeon, I really wanted to reach a younger demographic because I feel like that's an audience that's a little disenfranchised when it comes to news. You know, you didn't necessarily grow up watching the evening news or subscribing to a newspaper.
Right.
And yet this is such a civic-minded generation that wants to make their community better. And how do you do that? You need information about what's happening in your community.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I definitely felt like there was an opportunity there to provide something of value if I could package it up in a way that made sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So when it comes to having like other news sources in the area, do you feel like you have a competition happening at all? Or do you feel like you're just unique in your business?
I think our business model is very unique.
Yes.
But on the news side, we'll compete. It's increasingly, I think, a shrinking pie, unfortunately, which is somewhat of what I saw when I started, because we have newsrooms that are more under-resourced or are struggling to hire themselves in some cases.
Right.
But I do think we have helped show the rest of the media market that there's a lot of interest, particularly around business reporting.
Yeah.
And we have seen, the local outlets react accordingly. But I am naturally a competitive person, so this does not bother me. And I think it makes everybody better. And I continue to have my media partnerships again with Dakota News Now, and also with the Kello AM radio group on the business side of things,
mm-hmm.
And with Results Radio on the Pigeon side of things. So I really do believe in trying to work together the best we can too.
Mm-hmm. Look more at, sorry, I'm stuttering. I have a cold, but like focusing more on that network instead of the people against you. I think that sounds kind of what you're saying. Like we're working together, not against people. Very cool.
So what would your advice be for other entrepreneurs who might be nervous or overwhelmed by the thought of competition?
Well, I mean, it just exists regardless. I mean, it exists within a business just as much as it exists, on your own as an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. You'll find competition among your coworkers in a workplace, just like you will when you get out and start your own business. But I think really being confident and comfortable in who you are and what uniquely you bring to the market is huge, right? Because
mm-hmm.
that's something you should be thinking about apart from the competitive side of things. It's just something you should think about when you form a business. What am I doing that's different and needed?
Yeah.
If you truly hit on that, then at least to mm-hmm. start, you might not find much competition. You know, if you're doing well, then you will, but you've already got your head start and you can continue to build mm-hmm. and hone what mm-hmm. you do.
Yeah, absolutely. Overall, what have been the lessons outside of that you've learned about entrepreneurship?
Well, let's see. It takes even more work than I thought it would. And I think that's the case whether you're successful right away or whether you're not and you're really having to push to grow. Be prepared to work a lot. I thought I worked a lot before. When I was in the media, I had no idea.
Mm-hmm.
What it would mean to be an entrepreneur and truly have to put in the hours that it takes to make it work. I think it's worthwhile. I just think people should know probably what they're getting into.
Yep.
There's not a lot of middle ground. You're either all in on these things or it's kind of a side business, which is fine. But you know, if you're going to be all in, be prepared to work a lot.
Yes.
And then I don't know that it's so much a lesson learned, but it was definitely underscored for me just the importance of relationships. And that is, again, so true here in Sioux Falls. But, you know, making sure that you're building relationships and that you're reflecting, you know, the value of those for everybody. It's key because that's how you grow. That's what it takes to help, whether it's amplifying your message or directly benefiting your business, you know, from a type of client relationship. In my case, helping generate ideas for stories, which take a long time. You just really, really can't undervalue that.
Yeah. Yeah. Just in life in general, too.
Mm-hmm. Has the pandemic had an effect on your business or at least how you handle tasks?
I think it's affected everybody in one way or another. It was such a crazy year for us.
I bet.
So on one hand, we had our biggest audience ever because, you know, everybody wanted to know what was going on.
Right.
And that included business. And the pandemic and business are so, so tightly tied that, you know, for a while, and this is still the case in many, many stories, you know, it's this theme that weaves through everything. So it generated so many more topics that we had to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
On one hand, it helped me because I was forced to just stay in my office and work. And sometimes, you know, even though Sioux Falls isn't a huge town, there's a lot of time that gets taken up as you're running around town trying to do other things.
Yes.
It actually allowed me to focus a little bit better. But I was putting in just crazy, crazy long days, just trying to keep up. I had clients that needed to strategize about what their messaging should be. Of course, I worried, are we going to lose advertisers? We really didn't, thank goodness. But it was just an unprecedented time. And March, April, May of 2020, for sure, trying to keep up. And it continues to be.
Yeah.
Because there are all these ripple effects of the pandemic.
Right. Right.
So the supply chain or the workforce shortage, there's
so yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, you were right in the middle of the ripple, I'm sure, just with all the different things happening. Yes, yeah, it's still rippling for sure. So do you have any other projects going forward now that we're a little past 2020 and now we're moving hopefully a little out of the pandemic ripple, but other projects that you want to start? Are there things that you see your business doing soon?
So when you look at media organizations and how they are typically funded, they're sort of twofold. There's the advertising side, and then there's the what I'll call the reader revenue side. So if you're a paper, it's a subscription. You know, you pay for television news through your television provider, even if you don't really fill that. But there's always sort of a user revenue side of things. And we have not done that yet, and that's been intentional. So I don't like the idea of charging you for a digital subscription to read our news. Like, I just don't want to go there.
Right.
But I think that there is an opportunity to offer something where you as an individual would work with us. You know, you would contribute in some way to both sites. I've got a plan for the business site as well as for Pigeon. But it'll be different. It won't be, you know, here, pay us to read our news or just pay us because you like us. You know, it'll be a package that hopefully offers something that is valuable to our readers. So stay tuned for that.
Yes, absolutely.
Are there any other comments, questions, concerns that you want to put out there on this platform?
No. Advice.
I feel like I don't know.
You've
like,
given so much.
I've given this one my best, maybe.
Yes, yes.
It's been great. I appreciate what you're doing. I appreciate you having me. It's been fun to watch Sioux Falls really grow its startup scene.
Yeah.
And I think that's great. You know,
yeah.
It's not going to work out for everyone, but there's no harm in trying. You learn from everything you do in life. And it's wonderful that you've got this venue to highlight so many people who are bringing their unique stamp in business to our community. And I think you're going to have tons more to feature from everything that I hear.
Absolutely.
There are new businesses getting started all the time.
Yeah.
That's fun to see, and that's good for our community.
Yes.
I think everyone on our team will say that we've just been inspired by everyone we've talked to so far.
Absolutely.
Great. Well, wonderful. We're glad you're here. I hope we can keep you in the Sioux Falls area when you graduate.
Yes, yes.
Lots of good opportunities here.
Yes, yeah.
Places, so.
Yes, absolutely. And Jody, thank you so much for being someone who really highlights that for other people and for all that you do in the Sioux Falls community and all you've done and getting to share that with us today and our listeners. We do have a gift for you just as a thank you for coming. Yes, yes. And there is a gift card in there from our bonus sponsor today, La Luna. La Luna is located downtown on Phillips, down in the Cascades apartments, and they have wonderful products to offer. So go check out La Luna, and yeah, you have a little gift card from them today. And yes, yes, absolutely. It's one of those businesses that has helped grow the downtown area. So check out La Luna. Thank you for being here today, Jody. And this has been From the Ground Up podcast bonus episode. Thank you.